Okay. The mission in Ovis, Perek Hey. Arba Midas, Behochei the Beis HaMedrash, Behochei Beis HaMedrash, Behochei Li Beis HaMedrash. So there are four different descriptions of the type of people which go to Beis HaMedrash. Herlech Ben Ois, a person who goes to Beis HaMedrash, he doesn't learn. Schar Halicha B'Yadai. He has the benefit of going. Oisa Ben Ohelet, which means he learns at home. Schar Maisa B'Yadai. Herlech Ba'Oisa is Chosid. If he goes and he to the Beis HaMedrash and he does there what he's supposed to do, is Chosid. Lo Herlech Ba'Oisa, he doesn't go and he doesn't learn, is Rosh. So the Mishnah is as presented, it's a very difficult Mishnah to understand. A lot of kashas on the Mishnah. I'm not going to answer all the kashas on the Mishnah. So, but the most obvious problem is we're talking about people which are Hochei Beis HaMedrash. So there's Arba Midas about the Hochei Beis HaMedrash. So the person who doesn't go, why is he called the Hochei Beis HaMedrash? Right? So we have two people in the Mishnah which are not going. There's the one who doesn't go but he learns at home. And there's one who doesn't go and doesn't learn at home. But neither of them is a Hochei Beis HaMedrash. So what does it mean that they're called the Hochei Beis HaMedrash? Also, the most famous problem with the Mishnah is Herlech Ben Oisus Schar Halicha B'Yada. What's the mile of the Halicha of the Beis HaMedrash? Just going to Beis HaMedrash if he's Ben Oisa. So Rashi learns, interesting. Rashi learns that Ben Oisa means Ben Oloimed Klum El Shemeya Me'acheri. He hears from others. So just sitting in the Avra of the Beis HaMedrash, and of course he doesn't mean that he's sitting there making jokes and disturbing. It means he's listening, right? So he'll gain, even though he's not learning anything, just sitting in the Avra of the Beis HaMedrash, he hears the conversations going on. There's an interesting Rashi in Masechta Shabbos that a person who's loving the Beis HaMedrash, loving Meher who Shecheach, he doesn't forget quickly. That's the famous Masechta over there that Rebbe Elazar ben Aruch, the Mor says that they had to leave the Mokum where they were because of the Tzoros, and all of us chaverim went one direction, or Elazar ben Aruch went the other direction. In Perek Beis, it says Elazar ben Aruch was considered the most outstanding Talmud of Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai. But he went a different way. So he went to the mind of the Mumsis. So he came back, and the Mor says over there that he read a Chodesh of Lachem Acher Shayalibam. He mixed his Beis with his Chav, and the Ches with the Dal with the Reish. So Achodesh became Acherish. Lochem became Libam, Hazeh became Hoya. Okay, but the Morris is in that same Gemara. The Morris says that a person who learns a Beis HaMedrash doesn't forget quickly. So Rashi says why? Because you learn a Beis HaMedrash, there's always conversations going on all different topics. There's one Chavrusa Shaf learning Masechtas Zvachim in the back, and another Chavrusa Shaf is learning Masechtas Kalim, and there's somebody else, and he's asking a Shaila in Hichos Yeradei, and he's asking a Shaila in Hichos Arachayim. So you're constantly reviewing everything. Whereas if you sit and you learn by yourself, whatever you're learning, you're learning. You're not learning. It's a Rashi Taich, it's like a very poshut, like, you know, practical cheshvan, Rashi says. So Rashi over here learns in the Mishnah that the Halach Ben Oisus, Char Halicha B'Yadai, you've gained the benefit that you have in Beis HaMedrash. You hear what's going on from the others. Okay, that's a Mahalach. It's difficult to understand that that's the only pshat of the Mishnah, because there's a Gemara in Brachos in the first Perk. The Gemara says that you had, the Gemara says, Agar, the Pirka, right? The Gemara goes to the whole list of things. The Hiluli is merely that the scarf are going to Simcha, Chasna. Sheva Brachos is the words that you say. Yismei Chasna Makala. So the Gemara says, the Agar, but Pirka is the running. Rashi says, why? Because the people go, they don't know what to talk about, they don't understand what's going on anyway. They don't really get it, you know. The Pirkei was twice a year that they would, you know, they would give the Rav would give the drasha. I mean, you've all been here for the Shabbos. So go the Shabbos Shubat drasha. You go to the shul, and the Rabbi Einemer Zatzal or Rabbi Rosenbaum gives a drasha, and some, you know, Tifus will give them, and somewhere in Masechtas Yuma, right? And you see that there's people sit there with Gemalga Kavod Atara, and the Baruch Shem, everybody's quiet, and they listen, and they have no idea what he's talking about. They have no idea what he's talking about, right? You know, he's saying it's a diak and the Pnei Yeshua, and the Pnei Yeshua is not the Pnei Yeshua, and it's a teretz and a kasha. They have no idea what he's talking about. once in a while you get a person who asks a question, you know, and you can tell from the question sometimes that the person has no idea what he was talking about. And that's Chazal said, you know, there's such a mitzvah, the Amoritz would go to the Pirka, and that their scar was the reach of the fact they would run to the Pirka, because they didn't understand Rashi and Brachos, they didn't understand what he was talking about anyway. But they had scar for going. So if the scar we hear is because your Shemei Mecher means you get, like the Rashi says in Shabbos, that you, I'm trying to put together the three Rashis, right? The Rashi over here says he's Shemei Mecher. Rashi in Shabbos says you sit in your base of matter. Shemei, you're hearing Kashas, Terutzim, Yesaitas, Tunyas, you're chasing over your day, or Eben Ezra, Kesher Mishpat, everything, all every single day, you know. That's, but Rashi in Bracha says just the etzem mice of the halicha to Beis HaMedrash is seems to be something of significance. The Ritza, so Rashi is over there because the Kabbalah Torah, so maybe it means over here the Kabbalah Torah. So what, but the Mishnah seems to be, what is in the Kud of the halicha Beis HaMedrash? You find the similar idea by Beis HaKnesses, because I'll talk more, and Sotah more talks about idea that a person goes to shul, there's schar psiyus, there's a musaq, there's schar psiyus, the schar for the halicha. I'm not familiar, I can't tell you that there's one way or the other, but I'm not familiar at least. Probably there's, you know, you have a lila regal, the Gemara in Chagiga talks about that the Bas Nadiv, that Kaiso goes up, that the Liyah Leregel is the mitzvah. So that's clear, that's psukim, etc. The Vaila, I'm not familiar that the somewhere it says that there's a mitzvah, a person walks to get a lulav. So he went to, he goes to the store to get a lulav. So he gets schar halicha for going to get the lulav. Maybe there's a chazal somewhere that you get schar halicha. I mean, you know, Rosh, you know, pays the fum sara agra, you know. But in general, we don't hear that there's something intrinsic in the halicha l'knias lulav. Simply, there's a halicha l'beis medrash that has some milo. It's a similar mission, the same problem you have with the mission before. The mission says that there's arba midas b'nos nitzdaka. One of them is a person is lo yitim lo yitno cherim, is called a rosh, so the same problem. So he's lo yitim lo yitno cherim, so how's he a nois neitztaka? So there's a famous word from Rameir Shapiro. Rameir Shapiro says, you know, there's some people that they promise you they're going to give you money and they never give you, and you much as the kishkus, you never have to go after the guy time and time again. This guy, he says klor, ich will nicht geben, no rosh give. He's right. He saves you a lot of time. Well, he's a nois neitztaka that way. That's Rameir Shapiro's pshat in the Mishnah. That's not Pasha pshat in the Mishnah. But what's pshat over there also? But you know, the same type of kasha. So what's the nois neitztaka? If he doesn't give it, he gets up and shows, so nobody should give to the guy. You know. He's a Rosh, you know, Al Kutazachan, right? That's, you know, he's Noisei Tzlaka. What's a Noisei Tzlaka? Good. Then we're not learning Mishnah, that Mishnah right now. So the morale in Derechaim on this Mishnah, Arba Midas, the Hochel Beis HaMedrash, he says, we're talking about, and they have to shimon with the Rashi, we're talking about somebody who's roy to go to the Beis HaMedrash. It means he has what to gain from going to the Beis HaMedrash. So he called him a halacha beis medrash because he goes under the category of the people who have what to do there. That's why he's called a halacha beis medrash. You'd have to say pashas. He's going back to the previous Mishnah, the noisei tzedakah. Arba midas noisei tzedakah means a person who is considered within the umbrella of the noisei tzedakah. There's certain he's an oni, right? So he's not one of the noisei tzedakah. We don't have to discuss his status in regards to giving tzedakah. He's not in the parsha. Over here, we're talking about a person who's in the parsha. But again, so over there, the charek, it goes right to the mitzvah. It says there's a mitzvah of giving tzedakah, and there's some people which are under that umbrella, and they do it, they don't do it, etc. But that's the umbrella. So over here, the charek, the umbrella is learning Torah. And there's some, which when we're talking about a person who's able to do, he's roy to do that, and some do and some don't. But again, the Mishnah doesn't say that. The Mishnah talks about Hochei Lebeis HaMedrash. There's a famous Gemara Menachos. The Gemara says that there was a person who's called Barbe Rav the Chad Yoyma. The Gemara says that this person had to travel a long, very long distance to get to yeshiva. So he used to take him 6 months to travel to yeshiva. It'd take him 6 months to travel home. But once he was ready, he only could stay for 1 day. So he stayed for 1 day. So he said, Barbe Rab Dechadjoim. Right. So the more it praises him that he went for 1 day. So in the real Pashat Pshat, the Pshat is, you know, they didn't have Gemaras, they couldn't learn at home. They can stay at home and learn already. You know, right? He didn't have a Gemara to stay at home. Right? And whatever reason, he had to go back home. So he went to yeshiva. That's what the only place you could learn Torah, because you didn't have way to. You needed to learn from somebody else. So he went for 1 day. 1 day he chapped the Rhein. When I was in Dayton, Ohio, for a seed program, there was a fellow over there, Herb Jaffe, Olav Shalom. So yeah, this very, 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 very special person. So he had a kviyas. He used to take off every year. He used to take off for a week and leave his business and go to Muncie to Ur Sameach, and he would sit there. And he would learn for a week. And, you know, he didn't have so much background. They would make his Rashiva would learn with him. They'd make a special shir for him. Right. You know, so he went. So it's, you know, he wasn't able to learn at home. I mean, he was very excited. Remember when he came for the seed program? He mamash mutcher my kishka out. While I was there, he every opportunity he had to learn. So I said, "So okay, you know, we'll learn early in the morning." So he said, "No problem." He was there early in the morning, 6:30 in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning. He was there. And what about night? So okay, I'll be there at night. In the middle of the day, he came. And he left his work. You know, but any opportunity he had to go to learn, because he wasn't really capable of doing it himself. That's a posher shot. But the more that Gemara continues, the more says there's a story that the more says Avimi Isaka Lemisevta. Avimi had learned in yeshiva, and he forgot something that he learned. He forgot a sugya that he learned. The Gemara calls it Isaka Lemisevta. He forgot a Mesechta. It means a whole Mesechta, Gemara. It means a sugya. He forgot a sugya. So the Gemara says he went, picked himself up, and he went to go to his Talmud, I don't remember the name of the Talmud. Isaac or Lay, whatever, okay? And to learn, the Morris says, so why didn't he call the Talmud to himself? The Morris says, it'll work better this way. So Rashi Ritter says, because there was a certain anivus in his part to go to his Talmud, to ask his Talmud to teach him back something that he had forgotten, and his Talmud knew. So the fact that he had to lower himself to go to his Talmud, as opposed to calling the Talmud to him, that would give him bigger siyata d'shmaya in his learning. So Rav Aaron Cutler, Mishra's Rav Aaron, points out, you see, this Gemara, a fascinating thing, that the hatzlacha in learning is not in the physical learning, or not only in the physical learning. Obviously, the physical learning is a very important part of it. The hatzlacha in learning is in the world of midos. The hatzlacha in learning is in the world of the effort which you need to bring to be able to learn. So a person has to lower himself and go to his Talmud and work in his anivus to be able to do that. He felt that would give him bigger siyata d'shmaya in his learning. Calling the Talmud to him, you know, which maybe that's the proper thing, etc. And obviously there's still some element of a nevis asking his Talmud to come to him, and he says, by the way, can you teach me a Gemara that I forgot? Right? So still an element of a nevis, but there's greater a nevis in going to the Talmud and acting as a Talmud in front of his, the Rebbe become a Talmud to his Rebbe. So he found he'd get greater siyata d'shmaya with that. So the morale says that the Halacha Beis HaMedrash is the Halicha to the Beis HaMedrash. The process of the halicha, the person, the effort you need to do to get there is also the siyata d'shmaya, which gives you the hatzlacha in learning. Right? It's not just the learning. It's everything which is the room in the room. That's where the siyata d'shmaya learning comes from. So the more difficult it is, the greater siyata d'shmaya you will get when you overcome it. The effort you put in is what defines the hatzlacha in the learning. So you have a person which he made the effort. He's a halach v'ad ha'isa. Whatever reason he gets there and it doesn't work, he overcame his yitzhahara and he got up in the morning and the alarm went off, and he, instead of hitting the snooze button, he got up. And that was difficult for him. That's something which is, that's, it was hard for him. he came to Beis HaMedrash, and when the time he got to the Yetzirah, he won round two, or won round three, whatever round it was, you know. And he got there and he didn't. But that fact that he overcame himself, to push himself to go, there's siyata d'shamayim, which will affect his learning. Right now he didn't learn, but when he will learn, Be'ezras Hashem, that fact that he made that effort, he did that, is not lost. So there's the schar halicha b'yodai. That benefit of the halicha is there. The benefit of that effort that he did is there. So, the person who doesn't put that define himself, I need something greater than myself. I need to go to Beis HaMedrash. I need there's a bigger picture that I need to connect to. I need to make that effort to connect into what the Beis HaMedrash has to offer. The Beis HaMedrash has to offer, like Rashi says in Shabbos, there's opportunities to gain and benefit and to expand your horizons way beyond yourself when you go to Beis HaMedrash. There's people to learn from, there's conversations to hear. I understand the Torah is something which I need to get from somebody else. I'm very accomplished. And nowadays, you know, we have Svarim, so I don't really need to go to Beis HaMedrash because it's a line of Bezich. Right? So we call him Halach Beis Medrash because he belongs in the umbrella of the people who go to Beis Medrash, which means that's where he belongs. He really belongs in this group, the group of the people who should go, because there's some benefit which he's disallowing himself. The benefit there is to gain from others, the Shemaya Me'acherim, he's not getting that opportunity. So Schar Ma'aseh, we can't take away the Schar Ma'aseh B'Yodoy, but there's something missing. Halach Ba'is is Chosid. Now, Chosid means that the person went Liftim Yishur Sadin. A tzaddik is a person who does the din. A person who goes Liftim Yishur Sadin is called a Chosid. So well, he's a Chosid. Right? The person come along and say, listen, if you want to go with the Ikir Adin, I learned. Because I sat and learned in my house. I can't say that you didn't do that. You weren't Mekayim Ikir Adin. So that was the person who was able to be an Oysa, and he's a Halach Ba'Oysa. There's an extraordinary effort involved in that, in a certain sense. He's going beyond what would be obvious. So there's an element of Chassidus over there, doing something extraordinary. Loi Halach Ba'Oysa is Rasha. Say, you know, Pashas, the Mishnah is just telling him that he's a Rasha. It's interesting, Rashi, he defines the word Rasha. So Rashi says that the word Rasha means, it's Rashi in two places, it's also not a fair Rashi, because Rashi proves the Pshat that it's what it means based on the other places. You know, each place he says it's other places. Right? So Rashi says, you find Bathsheba comes into David HaMelech, so Adonio was Molach, and he's calling everybody to himself, and he's making this big, you know, situation. He's basically setting himself up to take over the Melucha. V'aniyu b'ni Shlomoi will be Chatoyim. This one, there's Chatoyim. Which says Chaserim, it says, like it says, a person throws at Lamatara below Yarshia. He won't miss, he may be missing something. The world of that is, there's something missing. There's a chasorin. You're creating a chasorin. A person who is a lohelik b'la'oise, the result is that he's a chasor. The morale constantly talks about the nekuda of a rasha, a person who doesn't fit in this world, because the nekuda of being in this world means that you have to have a makom. He doesn't have a makom. He's not functioning properly in this world. So that's the background, what I want to talk about. That had this more than once. The Rebbe Miller Zatzal would give a 45-minute cheer. After the 35 minutes, he said, that was the Hakdama. Okay. it's the nekuda over the hatzlacha and learning. Hatzlacha and learning is not like it's not a subject. Right, the person has luck in accounting. The person who takes a course in accounting is you learn information, and you were matzliach. You learn information, not matzliach. You know, so that. But I Harvard harder than the person next to me. So I get more schar in Hilchos accounting. No, you know, he knew it better. Easier, you were harder. So he gets you. There's no more schar. You didn't gain any more because you had to work harder to know it. When it comes to the world of Limud HaTorah, that's not true. The effort involved, the difficulty involved, the challenges which are there, are defining element of what it means that this person is learning Torah. You know, we all sit in Beis Medrash, and there's the person which seems to be, you know, it seems to go more easily for them. First of all, we don't know. So, you know, the looking over your shoulder syndrome never works, because we don't know each person's emotional challenges and situations and where they were, what happened to them before they got there, what they had overcome to be where they are. You don't know. Yes, they might be more blessed. They might be blessed with a quicker mind than you. That doesn't mean they didn't have to overcome challenges to get to where they got to. Right. So that's first of all. But even if that's true, you know, that this person, you know, we know a person, the person in yeshiva. I mean, it's not nice to call people nicknames, but the nickname for this fellow in yeshiva, his name was Glue. Right? Because you would put him down by a seat, and he would learn for 18 hours straight. He was glued to his seat. He was called Glue. Like, you know, that was a nickname, because you couldn't understand how the person did it. You put him down, like, you know, 9 o'clock, and he could stay there straight till 6 o'clock in the evening without moving. Without moving. So it's called Glue. Right? So, you know, you look at him like, you know, why do I try? You know, like, you know, you look at some of these stories about the Gedolim, you know. And so first, again, you know, a lot of the stories have been, because they're very Zohar and Hilchos Lashon Hara, they don't tell you the hard parts. Because I don't want to tell you the negative part, because that's, you know, the question of being Lashon Hara part. So you end up just getting the sanitized version of the story. So, right, you know, so basically the story goes, so when he was 5 years old, he finished his first Masechta. By the time he was 7, he knew all 3 Babas by heart. By the time he was 10, he'd finished two Storim. Right, and he took a bechina by the Gadol Hador, and he said he's going to be the next Gadol Hador, and gave him a kiss on his forehead. Right, by the time he was 13, right, he stayed up the whole night, and he's able to chaz over 2 masechtas in one night. You know, and that's how the story basically goes. And he never ate anything, you know, which was the same type from the time he was, you know, 10 years old. You know, the stories go basically like that. You know, it's very sanitized, and you say, like, you know, so why am I trying? You know, like, you know, it's not very helpful. So Rav Huttner has the famous letter where he writes about a Talmud who was having difficulties. And it was very difficult to him. And he wrote to him, says, you know, you read the stories about the Gedolim, that's not exactly how it really worked. And he says that many of these people who came to the Gedolim had difficulties, they had ups and they had downs, and whatever reason they don't write in biographies. Okay. There's one person decided he wants to go correct that and make a biography with all of the Lashon Hara about everybody else that also wasn't right. You know, you have to find the right balance. But that's not how it works. Right, but even if it does, even if that person, yes, there's an Abrasham, you know, the Abrasham, you don't know what he went through in the last Gilgal, you know, but this Gilgal, good, so this is it, he has to be Metak in this last, you know, he has to finish Shas 5 more times, and he finished, good, so the Abrasham said, let him do it already. I don't know, you know, it creates Abrasham Cheshbonos. What's in the game here? But beyond that, says that's not the point. Hatzlach and learning is not by how much you know. Hatzlach and learning is not by how many blot you finished. Hatzlach and learning is not by whether you are known with the title of Moreno Harav HaGadol, etc. Hatzlach and learning is by the effort that you put in. That's Hatzlach and learning. Now, Hatzlach and learning in this world doesn't work like that. Because this world, the cover that you get, okay, so I give this person a tremendous amount of respect. He works so hard in his learning, and he doesn't know a word. We don't give him that. That doesn't work like that. We don't give him that respect. Maybe we should, but we don't. But why is success defined by what the guy around me thinks about me? Right? It's like the same in America. America has the translation of the word success. He's successful. That means he has a lot of money. That's, you know, where you look up a Merriam-Webster's dictionary under the word successful, it means money. Right? You know, first definition. Second definition, money. Third definition, money. You know, like, you know, that's... So why do I have to believe that? So the same. So we, Baruch Hashem, we don't say, oh, no, success. Somebody else. It's not money. It's he made it to the tops of the ranks, and he gets a big title, and he gets, everybody says, "Yom Yom Melech Tosef," when he walks into the Beis Medrash. Right? That's success. It's not. The person doesn't count like that. Doesn't work like that. The person has to have the effort which is involved. The Mishnah says that the definition of atzlach and learning is the halicha of the Beis HaMedrash. And the person who has to work harder to get the Beis HaMedrash gets more, that is more hatzlacha. How will he see it? Where will it play out in his learning? You don't know. You don't know. You don't know what that means. Because the Baruch Hashem has a way of looking at it which is bigger than ours. There's a bacha here in the Beis HaMedrash that came to yeshiva X amount of years back, a while back, and I don't know if anybody here knows him. And he was one of these people which was he had a head which was similar to this shtender. Things didn't go in very easily. Okay? Like, you know, a shtick holds, as the saying goes. But the fellow wouldn't give up. And he worked hard and he asked for help and he would stay late at night, even chazer, and he kept trying and kept trying and kept trying. And, you know, at some point your heart went out to the guy, and of course you wanted to help him, you wanted to, you know, etc. And he was matzliach. He became, you know, he was matzliach. I can't say he became the biggest lamdan in the world, but he became a God's final lamdan. And he came to my shir. In those days, I was saying the lower shir, and Rav Aaron was saying the higher shir, and I was like nisbal, like how much he'd accomplished in the year. He'd been in my, I think the lower shir, I think 3 years before he came to me. And he didn't, you know, didn't bother him, you know, kept pushing. So I told Rabbi, you know, he's almost came like a lamdan, you know, he's a good kashas, etc. And Rabbi looked, smiled at me because, like, you know, I like, you know, saying nice things about people, etc. Right? Next year he went to Rabbi Shir and says he's taka lamdan. I said, I told you so. I said, no, but I didn't believe you. You know, like, you know, you're just saying nice things about it. He said, no. He says he's taka lamdan. I said, I know, yeah. So it was like we finally, you know, I was able to get through to him. Or maybe it wasn't through it, but it didn't make a difference at that point in time anyway. But it was a tremendous amount of... You know, now, why the Russian have to make his life like that, I don't know. What nafkamina that'll play out in his life was that he can help his children, he can help other people, he can make a difference in the world, because he had to go through that process when somebody else didn't have to go through that process. You know, that's Russian's chesbonus. But he definitely gained something which is extraordinary and unique, which he had over the guy who sat down on Beis Medrash right away and just, you know, went like this straight for 18 hours a day since he was 3 years old. You know, it's a different experience. And there's a difference, he brings a unique quality which he will be able to use to affect other people. He's actually a very effective machanach right now in a younger grade. But he has tremendous hashpah on many people in the community because of the difficulty that he went through. And again, he's not. I'm not going to tell you he's never going to get the title of, you know, Moreno Harava Gadol. He's not. But why is that important? Why is that the defining element? But he's going to make enough community for himself, for his family, for Klal Yisrael because of the effort that he had to put in. The Baruch Hashem has a cheshbon on that. So the definition of is the halicha of the Beis HaMedrash. That effort that you take. So imagine getting up in the morning and looking and says, you know, the guy next to him, you know, he goes to the Beis HaMedrash and he just sits and learns and it works and it's easy for him and he gets it, you know, and he pushes himself to get up anyway and go to the Beis HaMedrash and he tries again and he goes to the Gemara and it doesn't make any sense to him. And he doesn't give up. Or he does give up one day. I'll tell you, there weren't days that he wasn't discouraged. There were days he was discouraged. And he went, you know, for Chizuk and Rebbe, you know, let's go for a walk, and we shmuz about it, etc. And he would pull himself together, and he'd try again. So my shmuz isn't about keep trying, because that's important also. My shmuz is about that the effort is the defining element of what's lacha and learning. The halicha lebeis hamedrash is what is the definition. The Mishnah says arba midas b'hochei lebeis hamedrash. The hatzlocha starts when you walk out the door, and that's the defining hatzlocha, because that's it. Also, that's all you have to define. You got the beis hamedrash. You had hatzlocha. There's another hatzlocha that you're able to then translate that into lamaisa to be able to learn something. But the person should never underestimate the power of the effort it takes to sit. So, of course, that means getting to Beis Medrash. It means getting to Beis Medrash on time. It means getting to Beis Medrash on time and sitting down to learn. Each one is a different level of effort. It means getting to time and sitting down to learn on time and staying by your seat. That's another level of effort. And each level is another input that you're contributing to your atzlocha, your siyata d'shmaya. And I don't understand something. So I get up, I pick myself up, and I go and I ask somebody for help. I don't understand. Can you explain this to me? And the person explains it to you. And then tomorrow you have the same thing happens again. So you're embarrassed to ask him again. I already asked him yesterday. And you do it anyway. And that's exactly what more than Menachos is saying. That that he chose to pick himself up and go to his Talmud, to ask his Talmud for help, and overcome his gaiva, and work on his anivis, it was, he felt, he's going to get greater siyata d'shmaya in his learning by being lowering himself to ask for help. To who? To his Talmud. For what? Which he taught his Talmud that he forgot and Talmud remembers. That's the Rashi has a whole cheshbon of understanding something that, and that's you get to the Mishnah in the sixth parak, and there's this list of different things which are Kinyan Torah, right? And you look at them like they're nice from within, nice midas tovus. What do they do with learning Torah? Torah is nicknamed because you have a sharp mind and you learn a lot of hours and you have a good shver to support you so you can sit and learn and you have the right connections. I mean, like, that's hatzlocha learning. I didn't see that in the Mishnah, but anything about good shver, anything about connection, the right connections. I didn't say good mind in the Mishnah either. It just talked about learning. That would be required also. It spoke about anivus. It spoke about mi'at derech eretz, and it spoke about being ohu on the brius, and it spoke about oivus atochachus. You're siyata d'shmaya and learning because you're oivus atochachus. I hate mussar. Don't tell me what to do, but I sit and learn the whole day. I'm a big lamdan. No, you're not. You will not be matzliach in learning. But what do you mean? The man is the gun of the door because people ask him, but he doesn't oivus atochachus. He's not. He wasn't kind of terror. It was a shit mishnah. It's a different definition. And for him, it's hard to be to tachachas. And he worked on being oivus to tachachas. That's siyata d'shmaya and learning. That's what the Mishnah is telling me. And the person who needs a nivus and he works on it, that's siyata d'shmaya and learning. Your siyata d'shmaya and learning will be because you overcame your gaiva. So it's a different definition. It's a different picture. Because Torah is not it's the Baruch Shem's keli. And to take the divine word and put it into a human being, how do you take the divine word and put it into a human being? It doesn't fit. Because the human being is in the way. Well, because he's very smart. That doesn't help you. You can be the smartest guy in the world. It's the Bereshim's words. You might know a lot of interesting information. It's not Torah. I'll just end. There's Gemara. The Gemara says that... Moore says that if a person who learns Torah and it doesn't affect him, so the Moore says that the Moore gives a mashal that the Torah is compared to Eish. My Eish is Osa Rosha. Av Torah is Osa Rosha. So I once heard this from Reb Zev Lef. He says, there's something called stage fire. Stage fire, they use it for theatrical, in the movies and theatrics, etc. It looks like fire, it smells like fire, but it doesn't burn. There's certain people that looks like Torah and it smells like Torah, but if it doesn't burn into the person, it wasn't Torah. It's knowledge. It's fascinating, it's interesting, but it's not the Baruch Hashem's Torah. The Baruch Hashem's Torah, Chazal said, is like Eish. Eish changes the person. If you see a person who learned Torah and didn't change, he's the same Grubyan, as they say in Yiddish, but he wasn't, he started, it wasn't Torah. It was interesting study. It was mathematics. It was chess. It was Torah. They're all fascinating things. You know, guys, he's great in chess. He's great in Torah. Right? Because, you know, you understand. Smart mind. Wonderful. Nothing to do with Torah. That's not what the Mishnah is talking about. The Mishnah is the Torah is defined as Holkei Beis HaMedrash.